Well, this evening I want to direct our attention to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4. I will read the first five verses of Galatians chapter 6. But before I do, let's bow together for prayer. Father, how we thank you that you have gathered us here this night to look into your word and to realize that it speaks to our hearts, speaks to our minds, directs us to our duty, helps us to understand the glory and greatness of grace through Christ. We pray that you will enliven our hearts and minds through this instruction tonight and interaction that we will have. Help us to set our minds on things above, where you are seated, Christ Jesus, at the right hand of God. For we ask these mercies in your own dear name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Now verses 4 and 5 are a continuation of the subject which was brought to our attention in verses 1 to 3, that of the spiritual restoration of a brother or sister who has been overtaken in a trespass. Those who are spiritual in the local church, because that's the context that we're reading from, a letter to the local churches in Galatia, those who are spiritual in the local church are to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering themselves, lest they too be tempted. Now, this consideration of ours is essential in the process of helping in another's restoration. In verse 3, we find that it's possible to be a Christian who thinks too highly of themselves because they have the knowledge of God's word. They're able to see the faults of others. They realize where they're falling short. But they do not think about how they could be helping them. That is, restoring them to God's favor and blessing upon their lives. As we've studied before, it's possible to become conceited in this regard, to think that somehow that we are a superior person because we have not fallen into certain particular sins that someone else might have fallen into. We need to remember the truth of verse 3. For if anyone think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. In ourselves, apart from the grace of Christ, we are nothing. The kind of love that we need is the kind of love that asks the question, what can I do which will help other Christians grow up into Christ? And first of all, I will be a help to other Christians, helping them to grow up into Christ when I examine myself in regard to my own work. And then second, I will be helping other Christians grow up into Christ when I am able to rejoice in myself alone in regard to my work. So let's consider these things more carefully so that we'll be able to glorify God and help other people by the means that the apostle has laid out for us here. First of all, I will be helping other Christians to grow up into Christ when I examine myself in regard to my own work. It's a good thing to examine your own work. In order to examine your own work, you should first consider your heart, whether you have a right view towards yourself, a view which will lead you to do righteous and good works. Verse 3 says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But you must then go on to ask yourself whether you, being nothing in yourself, see what God is making you into and what He would have you to do for Him. Seeing yourself as nothing, in other words, should not lead you to a do-nothing attitude or mentality. Ask yourself, am I a Christian person who is bearing another Christian's burdens and thus fulfilling the law of Christ? If you are a true Christian, you should know that God is doing a great work of grace in your heart. And that work of grace will lead you to consider what actions that you can take to glorify Him in word and deed. I want you to turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2, and we want to look at verses 8 to 10. Very familiar verses, but Jenny, were you able to read those for me?
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them.
Okay, thanks for that, Jenny. You can see from these verses that salvation is the free gift of God. It's very plain. It's not of works, lest any should boast. But you can also see that this good work of the grace which we receive in regeneration in our hearts is meant to lead us to consider what good works God has called us to do. We are His workmanship, not only with regard to our being born again, but in regard to the ongoing imparted grace which is given to us as Christians to engage in good works, which He has appointed, it says here. And these works He has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Certainly this means that every Christian will be engaging in the good works which are commanded in God's holy word, the Ten Commandments, as a rule of life for the believer, and all the moral precepts and principles which are recorded in the New Testament scriptures. But it also includes all that God has ordained specifically that we will accomplish by our life and our ministry. In other words, God is concerned with the outworking of these things very much. And God has prepared these works beforehand, which means that He has foreordained that we would glorify Him by our works in specific ways, ways which He has appointed for us. In other words, we should be thinking about what God would specifically have us to do with our gifts and abilities, our time and talents. And once we have discovered these and are going about to do them, then we will also examine ourselves to see whether we are making any progress in what we are doing for Him. It says, I want you to turn with me over to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 10 and 11. And Rosie, when you get over there, if you could read that for me, I would appreciate it very much.
By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rosie. Now, you see, grace had really done something for the Apostle Paul. What had the grace of God done for him, according to what you remember of his life before he was a Christian? What had the grace of God done for him?
I think when he says, I am what I am, means that it just implies his change of his life by the power of Christ,
mm-hmm.
from a persecutor to a persecuted person.
Yes, that's exactly right. Grace had taken him from the standpoint of being a self-righteous, persecuting Pharisee, a violent man and aggressor, to a man who was no longer pursuing these hurtful things. He was no longer interested in boasting of his own attainments in the flesh. He's no longer interested in promoting his own righteousness according to the law. He was interested in promoting the righteousness, the grace, and the glory of Jesus Christ. And he was interested in the work and the works to which God had called him. And what had God called him to? I'm thinking of two things here now. What had God called him to?
To be an apostle.
To be an apostle, that's right. Aaron, to be an apostle and to minister to the church, to churches all over that region, all over that area, in the name of the Lord. And then what else was he called to do?
He suffered.
Yeah, he was indeed called to suffer. But what I was looking for, he's called to preach. He was called to preach. He was called to preach the grace of Christ to all men, to Jews and Gentiles, and Jews and Greeks, and the children of Israel. He was called to preach to all these different folks. And in this regard, it says here that he labored more than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, was the Apostle Paul boasting here when he says that? I labored more than they all.
I think he was not. I think he was basically stating a fact and telling them that it wasn't him, though, that did the work. He was just a vessel used by God to do the work.
Amen. Good answer there, Dave. Dave said that he didn't, he wasn't really boasting in himself. He was basically boasting in the Lord, of what the Lord had done for him. And the fact that he labored more than they all was a product of what?
His grace toward me.
Yep, his grace toward me. So we see here that there is such a thing as this imparted grace. Not just imputed grace, which is one very valuable aspect of salvation, but imparted grace, which makes us into the person that God intends us to be in Christ. And that's a very great process in all of our lives. And we're going to look into this a little bit more here tonight. Because, you see, this is something that we are called to do as well as Christians. We are to see ourselves as nothing in regard to our past life, our fleshly and earthly credentials, and yet we are to see ourselves as a person who has been called to do good works for our God in fulfilling whatever personal ministry the Lord has given to you in relation to the church which you belong and in relation to people around you. Now, I'm very much aware that most people, when they think of the ministry, they only think of the pastor or the one who's doing the preaching. But what we're going to see here is that each one of us has been given one gift or more than one gift. And with those gifts, we are to minister in the context of the church of the living God. Now, I want you to turn with me over to Romans chapter 12, and we want to look at verses 3 to 8. Romans chapter 12. And Aaron, when you get over there, if you'll read verses 3 to 8 for me, I'd appreciate it.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Mm-hmm. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portions to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Very good. Thank you for that, Aaron. Now you see that there's an alternative to thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. What is that mentioned as being? The alternative to thinking more highly than you ought, what is it?
Soberly.
We are to think soberly. Why? Because God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Now notice that Paul is speaking about the normative gifts given to the church for the time period of this whole church age. And he's saying that each believer has been given a measure of faith. A measure of faith. This phrase, a measure of faith, what does it mean? I've got a definition of it for you, but I want to see what you think it means. God has dealt to each a measure of faith.
It might mean amount, but it also might mean the differences in the gifts, too, because that's what he's going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
On down. So I'm not
sure. I think you're right. It means both. It means amount, but it also means that there's differences in the gifts that are given. And we need to recognize that and to appreciate that. This phrase, a measure of faith, means that there has been given to you as a Christian, along with the gift of regeneration, a measure of faith in relation to what you as a believer will do for God. Okay? In other words, your faith is related to your gift that you are given. A measure of faith means that there has been given to you as a Christian, along with the gift of regeneration, a measure of faith in relation to what you as a believer will do for God. And you are to exercise this faith in relation to believing that what you are doing in accordance with the commands of the Word of God is pleasing to God when you help others with the use of the particular gift or gifts that you have been given. Gifts which relate to others in the body of Christ, and in particular the church of which you are a member. It's really very important that every Christian be a member of a local church. And one of the main reasons is because you cannot really use your gifts in a way that God would have you to use them unless you are using them in the context of a local church. Loving one another, serving one another, caring for the needs of one another. And we want to look now at verses 9 to 17 of this same passage. And Vicki, if you would read those verses for me, we could read all the way down to 21, but I'll just have you read down through verse 17, 9 to 17 of chapter 12 of Romans.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, mm-hmm. but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men.
Amen. Thank you for reading that, Vicki. These things that are listed here are some of the works, I believe, which you should be learning to do by the power of the Spirit, and which you will go about to do by the power of the Spirit. These works are accompanied by righteous and loving attitudes in which you will be attempting to exhibit to others around you the fruit of the Spirit's working in your life. What the text that we are studying tonight is saying is that you should often examine your own work to see if you are indeed humbly serving Christ in the way that is described here. Are you blessing those who curse you? Are you rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep? Do you hate what is evil? Is your love without hypocrisy? And we could go down the whole list and ask ourselves whether we are doing these good works. For if we examine ourselves and we find that we are doing these good works from right attitudes, then we are ready to receive the second truth found in verse 4. And the second truth is this: I will be helping other Christians grow up into Christ when I am able to rejoice in myself alone in regard to my work. This is really a very interesting principle of truth. It says there in verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The NASB says, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, but not in regard to another. Now, the word translated boasting or rejoicing in the Greek is kaukema. The object that Paul is driving at here is that when a man has his focus on his own work and can see that it is the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in his life that has led him to bear the burdens of others and to engage in good works toward them, then real progress is being made. And this progress can be rejoiced in. It can even be boasted in, if it's done with the right spirit, for it will be a means of instruction to many persons around us. I want you to turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 12 to 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 12 to 14. Brian, could you read that for us, please?
For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you are also ours in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Brian. Now you can see how Paul's boast was in the testimony, it says here, of his conscience, that he and Timothy had conducted themselves in the world, he says here, in simplicity and godly sincerity. They did not conduct themselves, he says, with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. This good example of theirs leads to the same kind of behavior. It led to the same kind of behavior being cultivated by those at Corinth that they had preached to. The only reason that Paul and Timothy had to boast in those at Corinth is because they had examined their own work first. They had rejoiced in themselves alone first, as though the good result of their preaching and example might not bear fruit in others whom they had preached to. In other words, they weren't sure of that originally. But that did not cause them to stop and to think, now have we conducted ourselves in a way that is becoming and befitting the gospel of Christ? They had that testimony in their own conscience. They rejoiced, I'm saying, in themselves alone first, as though the good result of their preaching and example might not bear fruit in others whom they preached to. That even if it didn't, that still that they had this testimony. But once they did see that their example had borne fruit, then they could legitimately boast or rejoice in the Corinthians who had come to embrace the same godly perspective on living the Christian life. This boasting that is being talked about in these passages is not boasting before God, but being able to righteously boast before men because their heart and their actions have been right before them. Now this object, the object of this lesson tonight has been to show you the right way to go about helping other Christians to grow up into Christ. And the right way is not by comparing yourself with others to see if you are more knowledgeable or more righteous, but rather to examine your own work to see if God will establish the goodness and rightness of it to the hearts of other Christians and others whom you would instruct in the way of the Lord. And we need to close this time with thinking about these verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Let me read them to you. In fact, I think I'm going to read you more than in those couple of verses. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read you from 12 to 18, and then we'll close, unless we want to discuss this more. But it says, therefore, we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Well, I think that was a good set of verses to close with, because it really shows us something about this rejoicing, doesn't it? Or this boasting that Paul's talking about. He's examining his own work and having reason to rejoice that his conscience was clear in regards to all the things that he taught and all the way that he lived in relation to those whom he preached the gospel to and attempted to minister to in all the different churches that were formed in and around his ministry as a church planter, and then through Timothy and others who became pastors of the local churches that he helped to plant. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts that you have about these things that we've discussed tonight? It's really quite a, I think, an amazing subject. Well, good. The Lord is going to give us such words.